Time now for The Ripple with Penny Faree.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Ripple, a new show on the North Coast where we highlight organizations or individuals that are making a difference on the North Coast, however way they are. And this morning, we are featuring a very important unit that operates very much undercover, but they do a lot of good work. It's the Dolphin Coast Anti-Poaching Forum. And our two guests today to talk about the organization and what they actually do is Brett Moran and Vanessa Honeyball. Morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Penny.
Morning.
Yeah, and we just want to start off for the listeners because I know it's an organization that is an umbrella for a lot of other organizations or NPOs that operate together as a unit. Can you tell us, Brett, what it's about and how it formed?
Yeah, so basically we've worked out that there's a number of organizations, private security and all that are working in singular. So what we found is that, you know, with the anti-poaching scheme, that the trying to do it in isolation wasn't really working.
Yeah.
So we've all formed this Dolphin Coast Anti-Poaching Forum just to try and collaborate and get everyone on the same page and to try and have a singular point of contact.
Yeah.
So that we can gather the numbers, get the data, and put out the response where it's needed, where certain people are strong. So the organizations that are out there is obviously DOCRA is backing us.
Yeah, the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association.
Yeah, come through, which obviously we're members of, and also that they've helped sponsor a few items for the crew on the ground. We've got the DFFE, we've got Isinvelo, and the private security companies that are strong in certain areas, we're trying to assist us where they can.
And tell us what sort of anti-poaching work is happening on the ground, and how prevalent is it? Whether there was a massive need for something like this to mobilize.
It's sort of there's three main sectors: the dog poaching, obviously on the farm areas, which was also singular done by the Hawiletu, so they've also joined on to the Dolphin Coast Anti-Poaching Forum to give us their data and their manpower and support. And so the dog poaching is massive. Yeah. It is, I reckon, probably 80% of our calls are all dog poaching. Mm. It is really, really bad. Then the second one is obviously your marine side, so your mussels and all that kind of stuff, spear fishermen, the cray guys, you know, the regular guys that you see, because we don't have any one body watching them and making sure that they take their bag limits and all that. It's just, you know, that's a form of poaching, even though they're doing it, you know, by the bar, you know, one over your bag limits is poaching.
Yeah.
So, and then you'll get your gill netters and all that kind of stuff that's in your estuaries and stuff. And that's also very, very massive.
And also the snares, hey, is that also part of your organization?
Yeah, so snare aware is also part of the organization too. Yeah. So there's a whole team that's also an NPO that go around into the bush areas that are adjacent to a lot of our estates, and they are clearing out the snares.
Yeah, and Vanessa, what sort of challenges, as a forum, obviously is made up a lot of volunteer work, is that correct?
Yeah.
A lot of volunteers, and how are they funded? How is this forum actually operating?
So there's no funding. It is all volunteer work. And like Brett said, it's made up, you know, we've got all our local security companies or a number of our local security companies volunteering their resources. We've got Ihawaletu, which is the Farming Association. We've got SPCA, Isinvelo, DFFE. Everybody is kind of pulling together to do all this work, but there is no funding. So that already is a challenge because, you know, you need equipment, you need vehicles. and you need manpower.
Yeah.
So manpower is a huge challenge. Authority is a huge challenge as well. You know, security can respond to a call out, but they don't have the mandate. You know, they can't make arrests, they can't necessarily confiscate, but that's where DFFE and Ezimvelo come in with that.
Yeah. And in terms of, you know, we had in Ezimvelo, they used to police man the beaches and that. So now, obviously, they didn't have a budget, and we don't. Now, there's a few honorary officers, I believe, on, you know, doing patrols. How are we seeing the impact now of the forum now that's come together? Is it actually making a difference, or is it something that, you know, there is no teeth? So if you are looking at poachers and you know you highlight it, what happens then? How do you stop something like that from continuing?
So that is a challenge, but it's also one of the things that we're working towards bettering.
Yeah.
And finding a solution. So what we're doing is responding to call outs, and then because we've got that direct line to say DFFE or Ezimvelo, you know, that can kind of guide us as we go. But one of the big things that we're working on at the moment is pulling in volunteers who are willing to sign up as honorary officers.
Okay.
And to help them with processing those applications and pushing them through. Ultimately, we want to have as many honorary officers locally based who can respond, so that there's less pressure on more people.
Yes.
You know, that there's always going to be someone available to go out and respond to an incident. What we're also doing is collecting the data, every report and incident that comes through that is being collated, to provide to the authorities, because we would like to motivate, and this is something that we have discussed with DFFE and Ezimvelo, to motivate to actually have permanent DFFE official based here.
Yeah.
And
Brett, how successful has this forum been since its inception?
Yeah, I think it's very, very successful. I think the underlying factor is that we're getting the data. So now it's gone out to the mass public. So now that everyone can see that, you know, if you're doing a report, something might be done about it. Or if we don't have the manpower to respond to it, at least we know that there could be a hotspot there. So I think what we're trying to achieve is that, number one, we're getting the data. And then secondly, if we can respond, we will respond. But what's happening is this, I think the definitely on the farming side, the poaching has minimized drastically.
Have you seen,
So we've seen it because we're not. So a lot of the poachers now realize that we cannot, to try to catch them as a mission on their own. So what we've been doing is catching their dogs. So we've caught number of dogs on a number of operations, and then we send them to the SPCA, then they go to Durban, then if they want their dogs back, they have to go to Durban and pay and all that kind of stuff. So it's fine, it's making sure that they're okay. Some of them might have been spayed already, so that stops them from breeding. So all that kind of stuff is really inconveniencing them a lot.
Yeah.
So that's the whole objective right now, is that we try and make it as, inconvenient for them to go out there
and make it difficult. Yeah, I mean,
almost deterring them.
It is.
What do you say with I know you're quite a strong environmentalist, and we have discussed how there's a lack of presence from our officers on the beach. Do you think?
Well, I think it's important to understand what the issues are and how it affects, because anyone listening to this, I mean, it doesn't really affect me, and these poor oaks are just trying to eat, you know, and all that kind of thinking results in lack of activity, because it's not a priority in government. Well, as long as they're kind of out of the spotlight, no one really cares. That's the problem. The problem is that it does affect everyone. It affects the lifestyle that we currently enjoy. Well, there are still creatures around that keep the ecosystem intact. And without the creatures, the ecosystem goes out of whack. And then everything starts to fall apart, like you see throughout the rest of the world. And we've still got vestiges of beautiful natural heritage that we can protect. And if we stand together, that makes a huge difference. So initiatives like this are massive, but they need to be supported. Because people need to understand, we all need to understand that yes, it might not directly affect you in that you may not have some kind of illegal poaching going on in your backyard, but it affects your the value of the property in which you have invested, because if the property values are high because of the magnificence of the area and how pristine and well managed it is, etc., what's in it for me is that your house price goes up, which means that the value of your investment. So even if it's not a bleeding heart issue for you, if you're a cold-hearted capitalist, like most, let me put it to you quite softly and gently, you know, I understand that most people couldn't care less about anything that doesn't affect me. Well, it does affect you, and this is why you should be much more active in your support. And what kind of support can you offer? Well, that's why the folk are here.
Yes.
What do you need?
Brett, tell us. Vanessa.
Vanessa.
You need Vanessa. Okay, well, there
tell
we go.
Us,
that's
Vanessa.
Sorted. That's wonderful.
Everyone who's listening now, yes. And they are, you know, they're inspired to do something, because a lot of people have limited time and there's a lot of initiatives around, and this might appeal to them and they want to get involved, because there are a lot of people. Our oceans are such a gem, and they are one of the gems.
I just find it fantastic when you see a group of people raping and pillaging the rocks for life, because they want to eat them. You know, it's not like people are starving and they're doing this because they have no choice other than to do.
Yeah, but you're not taking 40. To feed yourself.
Apparently recently in Sheffield there's been quite a lot of movement. The foreign nationals that have been coming down to pinch the limpets and the whelks and whatever.
A lot of it is businesses.
They're
running businesses, and that's across the rivers, they're catching fish and it's being sold in the market.
But, up until now, it's been this horrible, what can we do about it? There's no, back in the day, you had the fisheries guys that were there and finding and confiscating. Now,
and they were present.
Nothing. Well, problem is, if there's nothing, there's nothing. But no longer is there nothing. You've got this anti-poaching initiative.
Yes.
I've seen on social media some huge successes, even if it is just to scare those swines away so they go and do something else somewhere else.
Yeah. This is the thing, just having a presence, and actually we know that they're probably not going to stop, whether it's on the farms or on the beaches, but it's to have that presence and deter them, push them away and protect this little part of the coastline that we can.
Well, I rather like your approach to making it so inconvenient that it's no longer attractive. So you can't necessarily arrest and imprison, although I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
But you can make it so unattractive and so awfully inconvenient that these lovely individuals take themselves somewhere else, hopefully a long way away. Yeah.
It takes them a while to regroup again. I mean, since we launched in December, we've had over 60 incidents that we've logged and responded to. There's over, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think over 60 poachers that we've intercepted, and over 150 dogs now that have stopped in the process of hunting.
Yeah.
But it's a huge area to cover.
It's a very cultural thing as well. I mean, you're quite right.
It's cultural, it's gambling,
yeah.
There's some subsistence sort of hunting purely just for some bushmeat.
And that's the gill netting. I mean, for instance, that, you know, we got a report, gill netting. We went and we took out 180 meters in one day. The next day he was back with 200 meters of net and managed to, same guy, same thing. So somebody's supplying him with that net. Somebody's saying, go and get us fish. So there's a whole syndicate, let's call it that, behind all this. It's not just I'm hungry. There's something happening in the background that is not, we don't know, you know.
There are businesses running. It's not just people going and getting something
we
for
went down to where his craft was, and for him to even get his craft to that river is 10 kilometers from anything. So, you know, there's obviously a vehicle involved where someone's being dropped off with your craft, your 200 meters of net. There's a whole, like I say, syndicate behind it just for one fish because I'm starving.
Well, in the past, of course, this was going on and no one was any the wiser, and sadly everything was being decimated. Now at least there's eyes and ears and a willingness to act, and thank you for that. Because it's so important that people stand up and be counted. And you guys, volunteers, you do it. And it's also amazing that there are good folk among us that are prepared to make a difference. And at the very least you can do, dear listener, is to support them. If you can't physically, actively get off your bottom and go and do something, go and catch people and impound their wherewithal.
Yeah.
You know, it's one likes to get the stories of success, because then you feel a sort of catharsis, lovely Greek word that you feel better, you get rid of the frustration. These are cathartic stories when you see the results, positive results, good results.
Vanessa, tell us now how we can reach out to the organization in terms of funding. If people want to support via donations or even sign up as honorary officers, where do they find you?
So there's an email address, dcapforum@gmail.com. If you're interested in becoming an honorary officer, please drop us an email. Alternatively, you can get hold of us on our hotline, which is very kindly managed by IPSS. So it is the IPSS control room. But that number, I'll give it to you now, is 076-686-0176. So any reports of poaching that you see,
so
send
it
through.
So if you see something going on.
If you see something, we need you to drop us a location pin, give us a time that you've seen it happen. If you've got a photo, that's great, send it through. Those are all the details that we need to be able to respond. But you can also use that number if you want to just drop a message. IPSS will pass it on to us. We've got a closed response group. So everything comes straight through to us. When an incident report goes through, it also immediately is available to all the authorities, the relevant authorities, and all our security companies that are part of this initiative.
Yeah. And we'll obviously share it on our socials and post the numbers and the contact details and
the banking details
on our social media.
Yeah. And of course, funding is always welcome.
Yeah.
We need a lot of equipment, whether it's skis to chase poachers on the river or dog poles to catch dogs. There's a whole lot of work that goes, and a whole lot of equipment that's needed for this work. We are planning to hold a couple of fundraising events later through the year, so we'll definitely share those details with you.
That wraps up today's edition of The Ripple, where good finds a voice. And I know the North Coast community always rallies together, and there are so many people who are willing to help and really go the extra mile. And that is what makes the North Coast so special. So thank you, Brett and Vanessa, and thank you for your ripple effect on the North Coast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Penny. Thanks for having us.